things we're dealing with are threats to humanity unlike anything the world has ever seen before.
We can bequeath our children a greener planet and a more prosperous future.
That's what climate change is about. It is literally, not figuratively, a clear and present danger.
If unprecedented changes are not made and made soon, there will be irreversible damage to the planet.
Zero carbon.
East Hall.
Hello and welcome to Zero Carbonista, Series 5, Just Stop the Tories. I'm Ian Collins, and this is the UK's number one environment-based podcast. If it's green, it's in. Or if it's blue, it's in, Dale. Because that's what you were doing this week, monkeying around with the Tories. Well, what's happening? Have you joined up? Did Rishi get you in the end? Was it a brown envelope job? What happened?
It's funny you say that, because I was just about to say I've been running around like a blue-ass fly, as my old man used to say. And then you go and mention that. Yeah, just got back from the Tory conference. I mean, I've been going there. I feel like a regular. I've done the last two, which have been quite, let's call it exotic experiences. This year I didn't get in, which I didn't mind at all, because we had a particular plan. Went there with some creative guys. I think they don't want me to name them, so I shan't. We made a film about young people, age group 18 to 24, how they feel about the climate and how they feel about voting, because they're being particularly, focused on by the Tories. Their new voting ID legislation particularly is harsh on 18 to 24-year-olds, who only 1% of vote Tory, funnily enough, so you know the reason for doing that. Anyway, we focused on them. We stuck a film on the outside of the hotel where Rishi Sunak was interviewing with the BBC at the exact same time.
Nice.
These young activists and young people just talking about how they felt. So that was what I went there for, and that was fun.
I mean, why did you not get in there? Did you have accreditation?
Well, I got a press card, and it was only the Friday before that we realized it didn't have a conference pass, and we asked them, and at first they said, yeah, you can have one for £900. It was quite expensive, really, I've got to say.
£900?
Yeah. And then they said, oh, no, it's too late, actually, you can't have one. Which
I wouldn't spend that to see Frank Sinatra as he is now. £900.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. How do they quantify this? And this is the crazy, and how many times have we been in this territory? You know, you are precisely the kind of person that they should want there. And that's the bit they haven't got their head around. There was somebody from the Telegraph that got turned away because there was something they didn't quite like about her past. See, I think it was sorted out in the end. And then there was a guy called Andrew Boff, who is a Conservative Party member that shouted out, they said he heckled, shouted out at Suella Braverman when she was talking about gender or something. And he said, you know, this is out of order or whatever. And they picked him up.
Oh, I saw that.
Frog marched him out.
Yeah,
now, this was, the guy was, he wasn't shouting. You know, this was not like a kind of Chelsea fan from 1976 doing funny signs and shouting offensive stuff. It was a very, you know, in heckle terms, if he was going in for the heckler of the year competition, he'd have lost every time. It wasn't, you know, some terribly disruptive moment, but it was enough to get the attention of the security guard, and the security guard and some other beefy character came along and took this man out, ripped his pass off and marched him off the premises, not just out the room, off the premises.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that story. And you know, this is a government that aren't that hot on freedom of speech, are they? Or actually democracy when you look at it. Because the rules I was mentioning earlier around 18 to 24-year-olds voting, I mean, they're quite ridiculous. The Tories have disenfranchised, I think, 8 million people, according to Polly Toynbee in The Guardian, with these new rules, particularly young people, because only 1% of them vote Tory. So if you are 18 to 24, and you have a student card or a student bus pass with your photo, and you can't use that to vote. But if you are an old person, 60 plus, and you have a bus pass, you can use that to vote. What's the difference? You've got to wonder. You just got to wonder. So, I mean, they are gerrymandering or trying to gerrymander the next election, which is why I'm turning my attention to something quite new, which I think we're going to talk about at the end of the show.
I will.
But, you know, these aren't people that believe in free speech or democracy, right? I mean, they're so crazy and frustrating to hear Braverman, amongst a number of things she said, talk about loud voices on the left that have an impact beyond their kind of size, you know, kind of unrepresentative loud voices. And I think this is a Tory government with a 40% of the popular vote and an 80-seat majority in the House of Commons. Talk about unrepresentative, and a prime minister who hasn't been elected. He wasn't even chosen by the people in the conference hall. The only person there that chose him was his wife.
That's very true. And even she gave a speech to try and make it, give it a little bit of gloss. I mean, I nearly started gnawing my own eyelids at one point. I thought, the hell is going on here? And then, of course, Rishi stood up and he had a pop at Keir, the man who keeps changing his mind. He changes his mind on this. He changes his mind on that. Changes his mind on this. And then announced that HS2, he changed his mind.
That's right.
So the man standing in Manchester has cancelled the links to, well, Manchester.
Manchester. And I love it because he changed his mind on net zero. He changed his mind on the ban on petrol cars. You know, he obviously changed his mind on the famous feet tax, or meat tax as the rest of us know it, Ian, and the seven bins and the car sharing and all that kind of stuff. You know, he's a man that's renowned for U-turns and stuff like that. And and here's the other thing. All week he's been saying, no, I'm not going to be rushed into a decision on HS2. I have to think about it properly. He announces it at his big speech. And then they put out a video, and somebody spots that the video was made in Downing Street. And he couldn't possibly have got from Manchester to Downing Street to shoot the video, even in his chopper.
That's true.
It was a pre-recorded video. He had made the decision, and he was telling us all porkies.
Yeah, saying he hadn't made the decision at all.
Man's a liar.
And then there's a whole load of stuff, which is, you know, even by desperate standards, was kind of sort of uber desperate. And that's the, you know, in the States, the kind of this ultra right wing QAnon organization who believe that there are, you know, almost satanic forces, and there's an establishment who are trying to get rid of Trump, and when they're not, you know, doing terrible things, they're sacrificing goats and sometimes even children. Lord knows what. So, and some of these ministers, I mean, the feet tax, as it should now be, is kind of in that territory. Just make some shit up and like hope that some people go, wow, didn't I? Really? I didn't know that. I don't know why I went Scooby-Doo on us then.
No, but I liked it though. I think Braverman falls into that category, because amongst the things she said were, you know, about these lefty, unrepresentative, rich people that were unaffected by immigration, they're not taking their jobs, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that the Tories, I mean, for me, this is the pinnacle of BS. The Tories are actually the trade union of the people of Britain. They represent the people of Britain. And you know, I mean, look at them. They're all private school educated. They're all, you know, Rishi Sunak's a billionaire. You know, these people don't represent the people in our country, but they're turning reality on its head, calling out lefties for being unrepresentative and rich and untouched by immigration.
Yeah.
When I mean, it's all us about face.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, if somebody wanted to get animated about immigration, it's worth pointing out to the Conservative Party that immigration is at its highest, and they've been in power for 13 years. And Suella Braverman is literally the home secretary.
Yeah.
It's actually her responsibility. And she was standing there as if she was in opposition. It's extraordinary. It's hang on a second. You run this department. If you don't like it, change it.
And they've been running the country, as you say, for 13 years, but they spend so much time. Sunak did the same, you know, striking out against the orthodoxy, all the problems with our country, you know. Braverman did the same. And it's like, yes, but hang on a minute. You, the guys that have been in charge, right?
You can't swerve that sort of thing.
No. Well, they're going to get rid of go.
You can't pretend that never happened, Rishi. You really can't. I mean, it's there for all to see. We can easily fact check the fact that you have been there for, you know, by the time there's an election, nearly a decade and a half. I did notice, by the way, that Chris Packham, a man you know well, is potentially going to challenge the legality of Rishi Sunak abandoning those key net zero commitments.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he hasn't abandoned net zero per se, so I think the devil will be in the detail of Chris's legal move. What Sunak is saying is we can still hit net zero. He's just adjusting how we get there. So I think that's where the battle will be. Just want to say this, though. We can all see through the bullshit, but the problem we have is that millions of people digest it through right-wing media lenses, and then that's a real problem for us because they believe it.
And it is worth mentioning at this point, when it comes to issues that are blindingly obvious, the world's September temperature were the warmest on record. And what has surprised scientists is that it's beaten the previous high by not a bit, but a huge margin.
Yeah, by a lot, yeah. I mean, this a really interesting story. You know, I hope that people like Julie Hartley Brewer and Mike Graham are kind of watching this, because it's not just the hottest September. It came after the hottest August, which came after the hottest July. And in combination, scientists are saying this is the hottest it's been in 6,000 years since the last ice age. And some others are saying it's the highest in 3 million years. And I love this the most, right? This is a quote from a climate scientist. It's absolutely gobsmackingly bananas. That's some proper scientific language there, right? These guys are knocked off their chair.
That is how hot things are. You see, they're so polite scientists, aren't they? You know, where most people go, "F my old boots. Look at it, f***ing hot. I'm sweating like a bastard." They say it's gone a bit bananas.
That's right. That's right. But look, the flip side of this, this could look like a doom and gloom thing, right? I mean, because temperatures have gone crazy, but there's a good story in the media. It started last week with a report by the IEA. They said the rate at which we're building renewable energy is on course for us to keep temperatures at 1.5 degrees. It was followed this week by a different piece, some outfit called Ember, I think, crunched some worldwide data. And we are actually building wind and solar at the rate forecast to be required to keep the temperature down to 1.5 degrees. It's actually happening globally. It's actually happening. There's real hope in that we can green our energy system by 2040, something like that, in time to at least put that piece of the puzzle in place, right? We still need electric cars, got to electrify transport and stop eating animals, right? We need that feed tax. Come on.
With the feet taxes, it's got to happen. I noticed also this week that Theresa May, who's found herself in that curious camp of coming out of office and turning out to be actually quite all right when they're not singing from some wacky hymn sheet, she made the point, if for nothing else, and it's something we've discussed for a long, long time on the podcast, she made the point, you know, net zero isn't something to be tinkered with or messed around with. This is something that is crucial. And if nothing else, it's worth $1 trillion. It creates jobs. It's, you know, completely irresponsible to mess around with it. Yeah. And you kind of look at that, and I think David Cameron also waded in similarly.
Did he? He's got a cheek. He banned onshore wind and solar.
Well, he banned it, and now I think he probably wants to buy it or something. I don't know. But it's kind of interesting that Rishi does sit quite isolated almost in the wider thinking of conservative, because although there are clearly some, you know, the old colonel at the back going, "What is all this nonsense? It's greenhouse gases. We fixed that years ago." There's all of that kind of character. But beyond that, I think there's a lot of pissed off Tories out there.
Yeah, I think the whole party's fractured. What's her name? Liz Truss made a comeback, didn't she? She's signing copies of her budget, the one that costs the country 30 billion quid in a month. She's signing copies of them. She's part of an alliance of 60 Tory MPs that have told Rishi they'll vote down any attempt to raise taxes. Not like he's going to do that. I can't see it happening. But it's a big threat. That's the whole working majority in Parliament gone, you know. And you know, there are just factions everywhere you look. And Sunak is in a faction. He's in the extreme faction that says, how do we get a toehold in this election? We have to be populist. We have to drive a wedge into this issue, the climate crisis and the green economy, which is actually one issue. One is a solution to the other. And actually, you know, get the way we get the cost of living crisis gone and get the cost of living down is through the green economy. It's how we lower our energy bills and keep them on the floor and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's in an extreme minority now, but it's desperation about getting elected.
Well, here's an example of the point that I think Theresa May was making, which again comes into subjects we've discussed so many times. Australia is a good example. Rooftop solar provided more than a quarter of total Australian renewable generation in 2022. Now, that didn't just happen by magic. That happened because companies exist, they developed, they grew, people purchased it, the company employed people to do it. So these are all the points that factor into this, as well as the clear environmental implications. There is an obvious ethical economic argument as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's unarguable, and it has been for some time now. It used to be the case that the environment was going to cost us money, and the environment and the economy were two different things. They aren't anymore. They're indivisible. The economy we need, the green one, is actually the one that creates the long-lasting, well-paid jobs. It drives real GDP growth and at the same time solves our environment issues. They're just completely overlapping, which is a wonderful place to be, actually, as an environmentalist and actually as a citizen of this country. We can have all of our cake and eat it.
Here's a question from Rossen, who says...
Rossen said that was a twat, but sorry.
That's a fair point. But, always mention cake if it goes wrong. Rosen says, really admired your powerful last decade film this week. How can we get more big-name celebrities involved in getting more young people to vote? It's a good question.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm going to talk about something at the end of this episode, actually, which is focused on just that. And I think there's a real chance that we can do that. I think a lot of people with influence in the music sector, live event sector, that kind of stuff, I think they want to help. They want to do something about this attempt to rig the election and drive us down this crazy path that Sunak has chosen, just out of personal, selfish desperation.
And the strangest thing is, I don't believe Sunak believes much of that stuff either.
He doesn't.
That's what makes it... Because that's not where he used to sit within the Tory party.
No. He's playing politics. He's just playing
politics. And a load of advisors around him have gone, well, if you say this or say that, you know, you might be able to somehow ward off, a landslide against you in this seat. Or, you know, it's really about damage limitation. And he made them. So we're going back to the Tory conference here now. But he made that speech. There was nothing about the cost of living crisis. There was nothing about taxes. There was nothing about the NHS. There were all the stuff you'd expect. This was a completely bizarre speech, and he's not the greatest orator over there at the lectern, but even by his own standards, it was a crock of shit.
Yes, and if you look at it, it's not dissimilar to what Johnson did, right? He wasn't actually dug in over Brexit. He wrote two speeches, apparently, one supporting it and one against it, before he decided where to nail his colours. And he actually joined the Brexit campaign for personal political reasons, to become the leader of the party and ultimately the prime minister. And that was a campaign sold on a pack of lies about how it was going to be better for us. They needed us more than we needed them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This isn't a lot different. Sunak is desperate. He's selling us a pack of lies in order to get re-elected for personal issues only.
Question from James. When do you expect the first EcoJet flight to be taken, and will you be one of the first passengers, Dale?
I have to be, right? One of the first. I have to be on the first passenger flight. So the first planes will be in the air next year. They will be running on kerosene. So they'll be traditional planes, all part of our plan. About a year later, the technology itself, which is undergoing CAA approval trials right now. So about a year later, that will come out of that process, and we'll simply swap the engines on the planes that we have for the electric ones, stick a fuel cell in the boot and a tank of hydrogen, and away we go.
Yeah, superb. Let's talk green gas while we're on the point of energy.
So, something really big happened, but we're keeping it quite on the down low right now because of conference season and all that stuff. After that, though, then we're going to launch the fact that our green gas mill in Reading is right now connected to the grid, and it's pumping green gas made from grass into the grid for the first time. It's the culmination of lots of years of work and the last few months of hideous technical obstacles, but we're doing it, and we're going to make like enough gas there to power 4,000 local homes for some local grass, and it's the beginning of what could be a major new industry for Britain, and I think the biggest opportunity in the green economy that we have in front of us.
Let's just mention Just Stop Oil then as a final point here. There's two reasons to bring this up, by the way, Dale. This week, Just Stop Oil decided to protest in a theatre while Les Miserables was playing out in London's West End, 200 quid a ticket to go and see this thing. And the Just Stop Oil cats turned up and protested. They stopped it. Now, I just wanted to say, away from the specifics of the Just Stop Oil arguments, I've actually seen Les Miserables. It's 3.5 hours of my life I'll never get back. So, and I know that's sacrilege in the world of the arts, because apparently it's a masterpiece and you're not meant to say stuff about it. But if I'd known what I know now, I would have been more than delighted that anyone showed up and disrupted the performance of Les Miserables. But this is a kind of long-winded way of getting into Just Stop Oil, because you have previously funded them. But that's stopping.
So, yes, first I want to say that title, Les Miserables, that sounds like it should be the title of what just happened in Manchester, right? Because that's what I saw. The most miserable bunch of people I think I've ever seen. And I've been to a couple before, and they weren't like that. They're really looking like, you know, their backs are to the wall. Apart from that, what's happening is this week, at the end of this week, I'm announcing a major change of direction. I've been funding Just Stop Oil since the beginning. I've been on demos with them. I've defended them in the media completely, not just their right to protest, but the way they're doing it, the extreme disruption they've been causing, because it's so much smaller than the extreme disruption we can already see from the climate crisis. I've been in there completely with them, but I'm going to stop because this government have made it clear they won't stop drilling, whatever happens. They've just issued 100 licenses. They've started to row back on net zero and all the other green stuff. They think they've struck gold in being anti-green. And no amount of protesting will change their minds. And in fact, I believe that more protesting and disruption now will help them. They'll welcome it because it will feed their new culture war narrative. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to instead fund a new campaign focused on the next election because it's coming soon. And in order to just stop oil, actually, we have to just stop the Tories, hence the name of this podcast. And that's what I'm going to devote my time and energy to, particularly focused on young voters, 18 to 24. Mm-hmm. Who have the biggest amount of obstacles placed in their path if they want to vote. There's 2.5 million people, first-time voters, actually, in this next election who won't have a clue probably how to do it. And as I say, it's become harder than ever. We're going to focus on them. And then across all age groups and all political persuasions, try to persuade people of this kind of simple view that only one of two parties can win this next election, and that one of them's anti-green and one of them's green. And a green economy is the answer to all of our problems, and we have an incredible opportunity right now at this next election to change the course of our country. For some people, it would mean not voting for who they normally vote for, but we could have a green government in Britain for the very first time. And that's going to be the essence of the Just Vote campaign. Just get people to vote and make that choice, because there's all kinds of people of all different parties that want a green outcome. They want a green economy. They want to see more done on the climate crisis, not less. And we know what Sunak will deliver. If he gets a mandate, we've already seen what he's capable of now, and he's got no mandate. If he gets a mandate, just imagine what he might do. So that's the announcement for the end of this week.
It's a stunner. It's a stunner. And of course, we will keep updating people on this podcast about the progress of that and all the implications of it as well, Dale.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, part of what we're going to do, as I was mentioning earlier, or in response to a question, we will reach out to famous people, musicians, bands, artists, to events as well, you know, the whole cultural sector, to ask them to help us carry the message to young people. It's so vital that they vote. The Tories don't want them to vote. They're trying everything to stop them from voting because only 1% of them vote Tory. We need these people to vote. It's vital to the outcome and the direction of our country.
Dale, we'll speak next week.
Pleasure. I mean, the pleasure's wrong now, because let me do that again.
Pleasure. It's a pleasure. You say that with a cravat on.
Yeah. I cannot wait. I'm going to be in the Labour Party conference, so I'm going to have a lot to say, actually. I'm looking forward to some big announcements. Let's talk about it next week.
And that's it for this episode. Don't forget to follow this podcast from your podcast provider so that you get each new episode automatically, and leave a review there as well. And make sure you follow Dale on social media, twitter.com/DaleVince, facebook.com/DaleVince.
Zero carbon. East off.